Yeah, speaking of self-destruct, a couple of days ago, I watched somebody's day self-destruct directly in front of me, which is what I wanted to talk about next. Uh-oh. When you see someone's day just go to absolute hell in front of you. Doesn't happen to you, but you got a ringside seat for the tragedy. I'm going to go ahead and pull this photo up for you, Lowell Melzer, and then I will tweet it out.
Now, okay. You actually saw it. You saw it happen.
I heard it. I was looking down, and I heard the crunch.
Oh, no.
And that's
this doesn't sound good.
So I was going to say, that had to have looked and sounded horrible.
So I'll show this, and then I'll tweet it at JSS98 Rock. I'm looking down, something. I hear from outside of my car a very loud... Jeez! What was that? Some poor tow truck driver had what looked to be a brand new Honda Accord on the back of his car.
Oh, heavens no.
He took off from the green light. This thing was not secured. And it just rolled right off the bat, slammed down, went crooked.
So flatbed truck pulls away from a light, car just rolls off the back.
Just...
Oh.
No cop on site, no nothing, so we just all kind of slowly got to go around, and you see this dude get out, and he does the hand and the hair thing, and is just standing, trying to figure out his day, trying to figure out where he's going to work after that, trying to figure out how do you explain to this car owner, who this thing looks like it had just broken down. It wasn't in an accident. It was now.
Yeah.
And... I thought to myself, this is this guy's worst day of the year.
Yeah,
and
by
I had
far.
A ringside seat for it.
That's when the Kill Bill, like, wee, plays in your head.
Yes, and like, then... oh, no. I got to be away from this right now. I can't help him. I have to be miles away. Sorry about your day.
I know. You know that feeling you get like that. You get all flushed. You get like that pit in your stomach. You're like wondering, like for a second, like maybe it's a dream. Like maybe you're dreaming.
Yeah,
this isn't real.
Oh, trust me. There's all kinds of people at our local art school that on Wednesday morning, as they check their phones, were thinking this isn't a real thing.
Yeah,
he's not in charge of us now.
Right.
So that got me thinking. What were times that you saw someone have the worst day? Of their life.
That's hard.
And can you, without me to be super vague, can you or can you not share the story you shared yesterday?
I guess I can share it. I'll just keep it super vague. Like you said, I went to a place. This guy, I was able to see some really expensive cars.
Yeah.
And there was one there, I believe it was like a 1908 Model T Ford. It looked exactly like this.
Look at that, man.
And it was, in the state I saw it in, it was not in such a great state. What had happened was the family had hired a flatbed driver to drive the car over to this place. He puts it on the flatbed, and as you can see, Lowell, I'll show you a picture of the car. It's one of those school, like 1908 looking Fords.
Like half the car's wood.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Half of it is wood. On the way over to the place, I guess the... flatbed driver didn't account for the height of the vehicle.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
And it slammed into an overpass.
Oh.
And this is a vintage, like, mint condition 1908 Model T, so I only saw the car in its after it had arrived at the place, and it is destroyed.
Oh, God.
Talk about that driver having a bad day. This thing is vintage. And then you look at it, and the guy tells me, he goes, yeah, it's just sitting here because nobody knows what to do. The insurance company doesn't know what the repairs are worth. Nobody knows how to repair it. Nobody knows where to send it. Nobody knows if it can be repaired. It's just destroyed, sitting there. And like you said, the frame around the window, it's all wood.
It's all wood.
You can't
original
metal
shop that stuff. There's no precedent set. Like, how many times a year does Progressive or Allstate deal with a Model T accident? Well, never happens.
They must have insured it for some amount of money.
Right, yeah, but I think they want to get it, like, they maybe want to try to get it fixed or something, but they don't know how to proceed. Like,
Is that like a million-dollar car?
I have no idea.
Something, if it's that vintage and that condition, I wouldn't be shocked if I found out that was a high six-figure, seven-figure car. This Accord, you take that to a Honda dealership, you get it fixed, someone pays a fine, that dude loses his job.
Right.
This dude... That company that delivered that thing, you're done.
Unless it was an inside job and they did it for the money.
I'm sorry. What? Another one that I thought of, and this was years past, and to this day, I would have loved to have followed this man around just for another few hours to see how his day panned out. Myself, a couple of friends, annually we would go to Las Vegas. We'd go to our, we called it our September trip, and it was always fun. We'd do it right around the start of football season, right when all the betting opened down there. We have a great time. So we're walking through the casino very late, MGM, and we're walking past those huge rows of slot machines. Mm-hmm. And we're just meandering about, and we see a guy just hitting the crank, nothing. Hitting the crank, nothing. Hitting the crank, nothing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
He gets up. He walks away. Lady sits down. Jackpot!
Oh, no.
Tens of thousands of dollars. The wheel starts to spin.
Oh.
Confetti's flying out of the top of this machine.
No.
And you see him, like, turn around, like, no, 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 no. And she's, yeah. One spin, and all he had to do was sit there for one more spin, and he'd have made tens of thousands. And, I mean, he was looking around, like, no, 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 no. No, 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 no. As people are swarming her and congratulations, and a pit boss comes over and let's go sign that paperwork, and they all wander away, and there he is just, he's standing in place, shocked, destroyed. One more quarter.
Oh, my God.
And that was the worst day of his life. Talking about the worst day of your life.
Did you witness somebody have a really bad day? Yesterday, Justin was driving home, and a flatbed in front of him pulled away from a green light. And said car on the back of flatbed just happened to roll right off the back of that flatbed.
And I saw this man.
You saw the driver get out, put the hands to the head, and go, oh.
What the is this happening?
Has it happened? What did he forget to change? I don't know anything about putting a car. I mean, they actually put my 4Runner on a flatbed not too long ago when it had some alternator issues.
Add insult to injury.
And it's up there, and you're like, man, that looks like it I guess it's going to make it. And I mean, latched it all down, and it made it. But man, I guess that guy forgot to latch some sort of chain, or something.
Oh, no. It happened in the middle of an intersection. If you see that photo, it's right in the middle of an intersection. So not only does this happen, he's now got people in four lanes of traffic.
Stopped.
Honking.
Looking at him.
Move!
Move
it! I don't know what to do. That guy's life sucked in that moment. So we turn to you, 410-338-1098. Let's go to the phones. And I, ironically, have also seen this happen. Scott in Annapolis. Scott, good morning.
Morning.
What's up, bud? What's
up, Scott?
A couple weeks ago, we were driving to the beach and coming over the Bay Bridge. This lady was just tailing me. She was just being a real prick on her phone, not paying attention, just right on my ass. Gave me the finger when we got over the bridge, and we just so happened to stop at the same Royal Farms to get gas about 2 miles down the road. And I watched her put diesel in her Toyota Camry and didn't give a crap about it.
She did what?
Put diesel in her car.
Oh!
Yeah, eat it.
So you saw the beginning of the worst part of her day, right when she pulls away and is like, my engine sounds real bad right now.
I'm surprised. Well, did you know?
I thought, like, the diesel pumps were bigger and
that's
they didn't
correct.
Fit.
You're correct. Yeah. That.
I don't know the truth to that story, but I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Because they're a different size.
They are. They
I saw somebody pull
size.
Up in a very small, compact car like 10 years ago. We'll pull up to the diesel
Well, maybe
pump.
10 years ago is different.
And who knows? Maybe it was one of those like Volvos or something that took diesel.
They have changed that because the gas stations, I guess, were held liable for it for some reason. So I think the diesel ones are bigger.
They're liable that you're a moron and don't know what type of diesel and fuel goes in your car. Let's go to Dave in Pasadena. Good morning, bud. What'd you see?
Hey, what's up? How you doing, guys? When we were, it was late 80s, we were BMXing, you know, going through trails and all, and one of my buddies went over a dirt mound. As he was going up the mound, he got his jeans caught in the chain. So, yeah, he went up, he was airborne, let go with a bike, landed, shattered his ankle.
Oh, no.
Well, that's not the worst of it. Now here we are, you know, 30 years later, and because of that accident, his leg is 4 inches shorter because
Oh,
yeah.
No. I'd love to watch him dance.
4 inches.
He broke the growth plate. in his ankle.
The damn growth plate.
Is that a real thing?
I guess.
I've never heard the term growth plate, but
I'm going to
choose to believe.
I got to look that up.
I'm going to believe it.
Lowell,
why would he make
guy.
It up?
Growth plate? And I feel like some like mechanic would tell you about that. Well, we got to look under the hood here, move the tibula around, flat back the kneecap, and by God, if you didn't blow your growth plate clean out.
Oh, here it is. The
went ahead and did it.
A broken ankle. Let's see. The growth plate fractures in the ankle often require immediate attention because the long term consequences may include legs that grow crooked or of unequal length.
He wasn't kidding. Why would he make it up?
It's got to be so hard to buy pants.
Oh my God.
All right, 410-338-1098. Here's a nice story about jail for someone. Hey Matt, good morning.
How you doing?
How you doing, bud?
What you doing there?
I'm good. Yeah, a couple of years back, I wasn't proud of it, but I was incarcerated over at the world-famous Baltimore City Detention Center.
Good for you.
Right. With a guy, and, you know, we happened to be going to court on the same day. And, you know, you're in the bullpen together. You know, I go off into court, and fortunately, God smiled on me, and, you know, the judge let me go. So, you know, I'm coming out and coming down the hallway, and you know, hop, skipping, and jumping because I'm on my way home. And there's the other guy that I was in there with on the same tier. And I see him sitting there.
Wow.
And I'm like, okay, how'd it go, man? You know, and he's like, man, I just got life.
Oh.
And, you know, I'm like, wow. I mean, you know, he was in there for serious charges, obviously. So, that you know, there that is. And, that, you know, that wasn't the problem. Usually, you know, they pile about 20 of Baltimore City's finest with you in a paddy wagon, and you go back to jail together. But in this situation, it was just me and him on the wagon. And so, you know, we're sitting there.
Oh,
and
God.
And then the best part is when he's like, so what happened to you? And I'm like, you know, I'm going home, you know.
You're going to have dinner that night, and he's going to spend the rest of his life in
jail.
That
you had to witness, you know, that guy's life basically end in front of him. But, I mean, I don't really feel sorry. He committed a crime.
There's a backstory to
of
it,
course.
Too. I mean, you really wouldn't feel sorry. I mean, you know, I was on the tier with this guy for, you know, 4 months. So, I mean, I knew everything about it. I felt no remorse for him. But
yeah, but just to witness that. That's like the show 48 Hours when
you
finally witness the moment in the interrogation room when you finally...
Where they got him?
When they finally got him and they're like, look, we got you. And you see the moment. Like, that's why that show is so riveting.
Like,
you see that moment.
Yeah.
Your friend in the other room rolled on you. He already told us what happened. He said you were there. He said you had
the gun. You see
somebody's
life, you know, cease right there.
And you always see it when the cop leaves the room. And then they just slink onto
they
the table.
Slump.
You see them deflate.
Yep.
Because in that moment, you are a free man or woman walking into that room, and you know you ain't never walking out of that building again with the same clothes you had on.
That's how they always say, never talk to the police. Just ask for your lawyer.
Lawyer up.
Let's go to line 3. Mr. Riley on the phone. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you guys doing this morning?
Good. How are you?
Now, before Bill tells his story, please let it be known that Bill holds a very special plate in my heart. Do you know who this is on the phone?
A special plate in your heart?
Yes, because I was shot at during the Great War of Waldorf versus La Plata in 2007. Those sons of bitches came over the hill and put shrapnel into one of the biggest bones in my body. This is my radio mentor, Bill Riley from Sheffield. Yes.
Oh.
Yes. If you love or hate anything I do, you blame it on this man. He is my Obi-Wan.
Well, thank you for the build-up once again. You do that every time to me, and I appreciate it. I love you, brother.
I love you.
Now you
speak,
Bill.
So here I am. I will now speak. Here I am out on the Beltway. This is a good couple of years back during one of those absolutely miserable snowstorms where it's up to your neck and the plows can't get through to do everything. And I'm on the inner loop of the Beltway, and we're barely moving, of course, because it's terrible, terrible weather. It's snowy and icy and whatever. But out on the outer loop, for some reason, the traffic's moving fairly well, but a woman skids off in her left-hand lane up against the Jersey wall, and she's kind of stuck there now. And a guy pulls up behind her, really nice guy, and gets out of his car. He puts the collar up around his coat. He's going to help this woman get out of her predicament.
Right.
He's going to help her push the car right out. This is a really nice guy, but apparently his car was sticking out just a little bit too much.
Oh.
And here comes a guy in one of them big old Ford pickup, 18 seat.
Yep.
Huge tire.
F-350.
He's moving too fast.
Can't stop.
And he loses control of his car and just obliterates this man's automobile. You're watching pieces fly up into the air.
Oh, God. And this guy was being a good Samaritan. The next thing you know, he's stuck out in the Arctic tundra and his car is in 1,000 pieces. And all he had to do was be a heartless son of a bitch and keep driving.
Not to mention that he dives over the Jersey wall because he thinks he's going to die when he sees this truck coming at his car. So he's now dove over into the inner loop area. And it was so sad to see. And now he jumps up, he's screaming, and we're moving so slow. We're watching all of this take place, about 4 or 5 cars worth of this. And this guy is jumping up and down and letting out a litany of curse words.
Yeah.
Because, there goes his car. The woman's car wasn't damaged much at all. And she, was unscathed, but here's this poor guy. And how do you balance that out?
You don't. You just look up in the sky sometimes and say, are you even up there, God? First this and then the friend spin-off Joey. How do you allow both to happen in one lifetime?